Good day, and welcome to the CTT Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Francesco Della Cerda, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, you all. Thank you for attending. We are now going to do the usual presentation and then, of course, opening for Q&A. 2016 has been a challenging year for CTT, as all of us know. I will go directly to page five to highlight what we believe are the main topics of the year. Of course, the major thing was the launch of the bank, where we opened back in March, and after 9 months, by the end of the year, we had 202 branches, 105,000 customers, more than 74,000 current accounts, and more than 250 million euros of deposits. In financial services, when we look to the full year, in fact, it was a strong year for savings placement. We placed 3.8 billion of savings, and the revenues coming from this business line increased by 6.3% growth vis-à-vis 2015. Compared with previous quarters, what we can say is to confirm that the full year, we overcame the difficult comparison of the first quarter of 2015, and so here at the full year, that's the result. In terms of mail, the decline of addressed mail volumes stood at 4.2%, which is within the 3%-5% guidance range that we have kept since privatization. The issue was, as all of us know today, that it seemed to be slightly better than 4%, so more towards the upper half. In the last quarter, we saw a big impact that transformed the figures for the full year. We will go again into this, but this was the major surprising, the major issue that compelled us to do the announcement that we did in late January. The average change of the prices in the universal service versus the previous year was 1.1%, but we also, over the year, and this is not a last quarter issue, it's even a little less last quarter than in the previous quarters, but over the year, we have the issue of registered mail usage by the government and the public administration, basically the tax authority, came down. This has a price mix effect, a strong price mix effect, and by itself, it impacted in 10 million euros the revenues. In Express and Parcels, you know that in beginning of the year, we decided to cancel or not to renew a couple of contracts, large contracts that were not good in Spain. The impact in revenues starts kicking in March, and so all the year we have been below the previous year because of this. In the last quarter, these comparisons start to turn because Amazon came in and because one of the customers that went out came back with then much smaller volumes, but in much better conditions for us. This was, I believe, the beginning of the recovery of the revenue line in Turlines in Spain. In Portugal, it was a very busy year in terms of launching various commercial and marketing initiatives, but the impact on revenues in 2016 was very limited because they were, in fact, put in place late in the year. The impact we can anticipate more this year and next and not in the 2016 that we are looking into. In terms of cost and earnings, the focus on efficiency improvements was maintained, and we were able to reduce 4.1% the recurring operating costs if we don't count Banco CTT, and that compensated only for two-thirds of the revenue decline, not the total as we have been able to do in previous years. As expected, the recurring EBITDA was impacted by the recurring costs of the bank. 2016 was the launch year, and so the costs were there. The revenues are only starting to come in. But what we can say is that the bank is going very well in the sense that all the commercial and operational targets are being met, or even more than that. We have cost control. We have less CapEx requirement than anticipated for reasons that we'll come back to later on. And so that project is clearly well accepted by the market, and the number of customers that we are acquiring proves that. In page six, just a brief overview. All of this is known, is just to highlight the main things. I will probably just mention here the two facts of December. So the SPA for the acquisition of Transporter, a small operator of around €12 million of revenues, but that can fit well into our logistics and express and parcels activity. And last week we received the non-opposition of the authority, the competition authority, and we will conclude or close this transaction by the second quarter. The second issue is the promissory agreement to sell the previous, the old head office of CTT, a small manor house in the center of Lisbon, and we have been able to sell it by €25 million. The capital gain that comes out of that will happen only when we close the deal by late this year, but the promissory agreement has been signed in middle of December. Going to page seven, the conclusion that we take is that the weaker than expected revenues performance affected, which was not the bank, and the bank effect was the one that we already anticipated and had announced. And so if we go to the right-hand side, excluding the bank, we see that the recurring revenues went down by 4.6%, the operating cost by 4.1%, and so the EBITDA went down because of the way the jaws played this year. In reported net profit, because part of the costs were compensated by provisions, and this has to do with some labor things that we will discuss later on, the reported net profit went up if we exclude the bank. When we have the bank, we have the €20 million impact in basically in EBITDA and the rest below that was expected. And so we see in the bottom some of the figures, but basically I will move to page eight, where we just give a zoom in the last quarter. To see that excluding the bank, the revenues went down 6.3%, which was higher than when you look to the year as a whole. And the recurring operating costs went also down, but not enough. And so the recurring EBITDA was just in this quarter affected much stronger than the when we look to the year as a whole. And this has basically to do, as I said, with the decline of addressed mail volumes that was stronger this quarter. We have in previous year quarters that went not as good as we expected. We have quarters that went much better than we expected. The difference this year was that the quarter that was worse than we expected was the last one. And so in top or in the closing of already challenging year, we expected for the last quarter, which is always a very important quarter in relevant, in relative terms, for the last quarter to be more or less in line with the third quarter. And the reality was not that one. And the main difference was even in December. So it was very difficult to anticipate that when we were looking to it before closing the accounts. And the rest of the comments are the ones that I made already. And so I pass to André to go on slide 9 and following.
Good morning. If we go to slide 9, we see the evolution of our revenues, the recurring revenues.
As you see, we still have 72% of our revenues in the mail business, 18% on express and parcels, and 10% on financial services. The performance of the all three business units, and Banco CTT has a contribution of 1 million already, but still very low in the starting year. If you look at the performance of the three, the three are negative, but let's look a little bit on the right side of the chart to understand what happened. If you look, the decline on revenues, the first big impact comes from the mail business, which declined 18 million euros. As it was already explained, 10 million came from the registered mail decline. Although in the last quarter, the registered mail decline was a lot lower than expected, or a lot lower than what happened in the first 9 months, it still declined 2.4%. And it's something that we already have it behind us because it was an impact compared to 2015 with 16, but it affected relevantly our revenue performance in the mail business. If you look at this number, and if you recall the number we had in the 9 months, the revenues of the mail declined 10 million in the last quarter, and this is the reason why, as Francisco just explained, the performance was weaker than we were anticipating. Basically, the last quarter, although the registered mail had a better performance, we had in the volume decline worse than expected performance, which affected relevantly the revenues of the mail, which made them go to the double of the figure we had in the 9 months. In the express and parcels, it's a different picture. We had in the 9 months around 8 million or 7.9 million euros of decline, and we finished the year with 10 million decline on the revenues of the express and parcel. And this is just commenting, we are recovering. As you see, we are quarter by quarter, the decline on the parcel business is becoming lower. We had the expectation that the new measures and new initiatives that we put in place in Portugal and in Spain could start kicking and make us have a better performance in last quarter in express and parcels than we had, but we already see positive signs. In Portugal, the volumes in the last quarter went up, although the price effect mix coming from the e-commerce parcels and also from some decline in the banking business still affected the revenues in the parcel business. Last, in financial services, we have a decline of 4.6 million euros on revenues, which basically it's the decline on the traditional declining business, which is the transfer business, the payment of pensions, and still a decline on the payment business coming from the cash face-to-face business of payments. Last, on the non-recurring revenues was the capital gain that we had with the release of an onerous contract that we had from previous years, which made us to have around 1.7 million euros of capital gain. Going to page 10, in terms of operating costs, as it was said, we had several initiatives put in place, a lot of them coming already from previous years, but also some that we enacted in 2016 in order to try to compensate the most we could the revenue performance that we saw in the previous slide. So we were able, in terms of efficiency cost measures, to absorb two-thirds or a little bit more than two-thirds of the revenue performance that we had, or the poorer revenue performance that we had. So we had around 24 million cost savings coming, it's not half and half, but coming more or less 10 million from staff and 13 million from, or 14 million from external supplies, which helped us to have, in terms of the business as usual, we had a performance in terms of cost cutting of a decline of 4.1, compensating a lot the decline on revenues. Factoring in, which was already expected, we had to take into account not only the recurring costs of the launch of Banco CTT, which first kick in the cost and then will kick in the revenues, and the non-recurring costs, which a part, or I would say a relevant part, comes from Banco CTT, and the other ones come also from some HR measures that we put in place, which
started to have benefits this year. We see in the staff cost, but we'll have also benefits in the future. Putting the revenues and the costs together, we see in terms of the EBITDA, we have, first of all, in the Express and Parcels recovery, which along the year was already being seen. This recovery comes, as we explained, from although the revenue decline on the Express and Parcel, the integration of the networks in Portugal, and the process of restructuring that we are taking ahead in Spain shows the positive results, which helps to have a better EBITDA performance in the Express and Parcel business. In financial services, was affected by the decline on the businesses, as we mentioned, the traditional ones, the ones that are the most in the physical part. Although in savings, as Francisco explained, we even had a better performance on the year that we had in 2015 by the kick-in in the third and fourth quarter of the stock fees that we got because we placed 3.8 billion of savings. In the mail, we have, although we put in place all the cost savings, since the revenue performance, and namely in the last quarter, the revenue performance in the mail business was weaker than expected, we were not able to compensate all with cost cutting, so the performance in terms of EBITDA of the mail went down around 5%. Which it's the major impact on the consolidated business as usual recurring EBITDA. If then we need to put in the Banco CTT. If you look at the right side, we see that very clearly on the consolidated figures. Revenues went down around 33 million euros. We were able to compensate 24 million euros with cost-cutting measures, with efficiency measures that some came from previous years that you remember that we put in place and we showed or we said the impact that would have in the following years, which made us that we were just able to compensate two-thirds, which means that the business as usual impact from the weaker performance on revenues still had a hit on 10 million on our business as usual. Then we need to factor in the cost of Banco CTT, and we finish the year with an EBITDA performance of 190 million euros, which is 17 million euros less than the year before. A relevant part, 17%, from last year, which a big part comes from Banco CTT costs, which is more or less 50 million euros, 20 million this year against 5 million last year, and 10 million comes from our business as usual. If we go to page 12, we see the performance on the cash flow. I would just mention that in the 9 months we had the effect of the working capital impact, which we told you that was some one-off measures and some one-off anticipation of payments that we did, which made the working capital to go worse in the 9 months. By the end of the year, this was more or less all gone, and if we put the last quarter in terms of working capital, we still have a better performance of 4 million coming from a 25 negative performance on the 9 months in terms of working capital. So in terms of working capital, the performance of the year is more or less even. It has no major impact. It's business as usual. In terms on the right side, you see the dividend performance in the last year. As you know, in the last years, we pay dividends, growing dividend all the year. In 2014, we still took advantage of some non-recurring profits that we got from the restructuring of our healthcare plan. We paid the extraordinary dividend above the recurring, what we consider the recurring one. And in this year, because of the impact of Banco CTT, as Francisco explained, without the Banco CTT impact, we would have even a better earnings performance than last year. But if we factored in Banco CTT, which we expected, we will need to use a part around 10 million euros or around 10 to 11 million euros of our reserves to pay the dividend committed for this year or proposed for this year of 72 million euros.
If we go to page 13, we see our balance sheet performance. Continues to be a very strong balance sheet with strong liquidity and cash position. You need always to recall that part of our cash in the balance sheet, it goes to our financial services partners and clients. It's the flows that we have always, and namely at the end of the year, it's very relevant. And now you need also to factor in Banco CTT deposits, which is also cash that we have in our balance sheet from our clients in the bank. So you need to take that out. All in all, excluding Banco CTT and excluding that impact, or excluding Banco CTT, we had 199 million euros of net cash position. Now, if we go business unit, we already talked a lot about the performance of each business unit, but let's go a little bit more in detail. Regarding the mail business, if you look to the left side of the chart, you see the performance of each business segment or each product segment. You see that the transactional mail went down 3.1%. A big part comes, as you know, from the registered mail decline. So it's in the transactional mail, which makes that the revenue impact of that it's more relevant, and the profitability of that product is also more relevant. In terms of advertising mail, basically because of the last quarter, we had a negative performance. In the 9 months, we were going very well. In the last quarter, we had some campaigns that were not done. As you recall, always we say that in a quarter performance, sometimes we have some effects of some campaigns or some decisions passing from one quarter to the other. So we can have in one quarter an impact of some decisions from our clients, which will affect our business. In transactional mail, this is less relevant. I would say that the most relevant in transactional mail is always when we do the price increase, which has some effects on the anticipation of some mail acquisition, but in the advertising mail, this is campaigns made by clients. Each quarter changes more than the other transactional mail. In terms of editorial mail, it was the price increase that took this performance in terms of revenues, business solutions, and USO parcels. USO parcels is a very small part. In terms of business solutions, basically this is the support of the transactional mail. If we have a lower performance in transactional mail, namely from large customers, it affects also our business solution business. In terms, all in all, if you look at the right side of the chart, we try to compensate, and the main cost-saving initiatives and the most they affect the mail business. We were able to compensate the 3.8% decline on revenues by a 3.6% decline on costs in the mail business, which makes that our EBITDA margin continue to be at the 18%, but at a lower number of revenues, so with impact in terms of cash EBITDA, from 102 to 97.8 million euros. In terms of mail volumes, you see below the performance, it was already mentioned, the performance on the addressed mail. Transactional mail accounted for 3.7, and advertising mail, mainly by the last quarter, 7.5, with a good performance on the opposite side, on the unaddressed mail, which also is a lot related with advertising, which had a very strong performance. We have sometimes that substitution effect between both of them, so the worst performance in one can always justify a better performance in the other. If you go to Express and Parcel, as it is said in the top, restructuring in Spain and the delay of the launch of the modular offer impacted the 2016 Express and Parcel revenues. In Spain, first of all, as we told you, we are putting in place the restructuring in Spain, which one of the first measures with a relevant impact on revenues was the selection of the clients that we wanted to have, or the renegotiation with the clients, the conditions in order to be in our network, which made that two relevant clients went out in the end of the first quarter last year. as Francisco said, after this work was done and based on a best cost accounting system, we started to negotiate with the new clients to come into our network. One of the relevant ones is Amazon, but we have others that also started to come in. The entering of those clients, and this is normal, and the delays, it's, we never can anticipate them, but it's normal to have some delay because we need to negotiate all the conditions, and apart from that, also to do the integration of our system with them, because coming clients from e-commerce, we need to have an integration also of the systems. There was a delay on the entering of those new customers in the business in Spain, which affected the performance in the last quarter in Spain. So we are seeing already a recovering in the revenues of Spain in the last quarter, but not as much as we expected. The restructuring will continue. As we said, regarding Spain, it is a process undergoing. In terms of recurring EBITDA, in terms of Portugal, just coming to Portugal, we have the new modular offer launched. The impact on 2016 was not yet seen. It will start to come in. It's a work in progress, and it's something that we are doing the marketing with the clients. We need to expect to see quarter by quarter the effects or the potential positive effects that would come in from that. All in all, if you sum that, just calling regarding Mozambique, if you take in local currency, the results would go up by around 10%, but in euros, because of the devaluation of the currency, it went down. But all in all, we have an 8% decline on the revenues, which is a relevant decline on the revenues in the business line of Express and Parcels. We were able to compensate throughout efficiency measures in Portugal with the integration of the network, in Spain with the restructuring of the operations in Spain, namely last year the HR reduction that we did, which enabled us to have a better performance in terms of EBITDA in Spain, but still a 3.8% EBITDA margin, so still a lot work to be done in the future in order to have a better performance on this. You see below the performance in terms of volumes. As you see, as we said, we were already able to have in the full year a positive performance in terms of volumes in Portugal, 1.1 increase, namely, as I said, from a good performance in last quarter, but as I also said, not yet seen in terms of revenues. In terms of financial services, as we said, we would have a recovery along the year on the savings and insurance business, namely on the savings business. In insurance, it's a product that nowadays is not being sold because of the current market conditions, but in the saving business coming from public debt products, we finished the year even with a better performance than last year, which was, as we said, quarter by quarter was something that was expected because different from 2015, the fees from the stock would kick in probably between third and fourth quarter this last year instead of first quarter in the previous year. All in all, but putting together the business of payments and transfers, which are the ones that continue to decline, are the ones more related with the physical part of the business, they decline between 7 and 12% in each one, which made us overall the performance in the financial services business units to decline 6%. With the decline on the operating cost, this is, it has a low cost base and it has basically the costs are related with the sale of the products and namely the sale of savings, which made us that the performance in terms of cost saving is not so relevant, which made that our EBITDA margin went down from 55 to 53% on the level that we always expect, but with an impact on the EBITDA of this business unit. Last, regarding the Banco CTT, as we said, the client acquisition and the cost discipline was the relevant KPIs that we would follow this year. Client acquisition. We made the opening of the branches of the bank in our post office stores along the year. We opened 50, starting with 50, and we finished the year with 2,000 202 branches of the bank, keeping up with the plan. In terms of cost, this was made inside of the budget that we had. In terms of operating costs, recurring and non-recurring, and also in terms of CapEx. So the Bank of CTT launch along 2016 was made in terms of costs going in the according to the plan, and in terms of the revenue or future revenue potential. The customer acquisition went very well. We acquired more than 74,000 current accounts, which represented more than 250 million euros of deposits, with a core tier 1 of 43, or a common equity tier 1 of 43%, a very solid balance sheet. We started by the end of the year with the sale of products or monetization of our clients, which is a process that will continue into 2017 when we'll need to follow the performance of this sector in Nova. I will pass to Francisco to give talk about the outlook for 2017.
In page 20, we have the outlook. Just recapping, our strategy is giving the fact that mail is on a structural decline because of substitution and all the factors that we know. Sometimes we can play better the revenue, sometimes not so good, and act as much as we can in the efficiency, but that's the logic of the mail. And then we are building and reinforcing the two growth levers, financial services, then the bank project in one side, and the express and parcels in the other side. And so the growth of these and the pace of growth of these compared with the pace of decline of the mail is, of course, what gives the end result in each period that we are analyzing. For 2017, we put a goal of small growth in revenues, all in all, and flat recurring EBITDA if we take out the effect of Altice in the 2016 figures. Going more into details, a small growth in revenue supported by the express and parcels business because of the new model or offer in Portugal and the strategy underway in Spain. Supported also from Banco CTT, the revenues kind of starting to coming in, and payments, and the new advertising offer in mail. The decline in addressed mail volumes expected to be in the -4 to -5 range. We will conclude or close the transport acquisition that will contribute circa 2,000 million of revenues to express and parcels. In terms of the bank, high single-digit million Banco CTT revenues driven by net interest margin expansion and commissions that comes with more the growth, the progressive growth of the mortgage activity, although in the early beginnings, and so it'll take still, it will ramp up over the year, and also because of the other products that we are selling, mainly the consumer loans and credit cards with the agreement of Cetelem, but that since last quarter last year are already being in bigger numbers and growing. We might consider to reduce time to market, small size complementary acquisitions, as we have been saying for some time. Turnaround of Turline is underway, and we also inorganic options are also under review in order to increase scale. In terms of operating costs and EBITDA, the efficiency and scale will continue to drive cost savings in mail. We are committing to Turline break-even in Q4 this year of 2017. Banco CTT, we are planning around 35 million operating costs, including recurring and non-recurring, in line with what we expected. The stable recurring EBITDA, excluding the Altice impact on the 2016 results, provided that the mail volumes decline finishes the year around the range that we spoke above. Earnings and dividends, the 30 million euros CapEx that we forecast, 10 million of which in the bank, which is half of what we indicated back in 2015 Capital Markets Day. The balance sheet optimization measures, sale of non-core real estate with positive contribution to earnings and cash flow. The main thing is the former head office that I already mentioned in the beginning. Dividend policy reaffirmed, supported by the disposal of non-core real estate assets. Expect cash inflow of 22.5 million and accounting gain of circa 16 million and distributable reserves. The distributable reserves is a core element here starting this year of 2016, and is consistent with what we said when we announced the project of the bank. The bank in the first years will have a negative impact in EBITDA and in profits, but we have reserves to go through those years and it's what comes out of the figures when we look to our end of 2016 figures. Now we open to Q&A.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Bruno Silva from BPI. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I have three questions. I would start with one on dividends. I'd appreciate if you could provide more of your opinion about the sustainability of dividends, considering that you are being forced to pay part of it through distributable reserves, that you have an AGM proposal to increase distributable reserves. I mean, currently, you have a dividend yield of around 10%, way above the peer group. Do you really need that, or do you think that something more aligned with net profit that considering the outlook for 2017 will be flat, or I mean, reading from EBITDA evolution and your net cash position, would it be more aligned with the earnings generation capability that you have in the short term to reduce it and still maintaining a significant premium over the peer group? The second question, if I may, it's related with the outlook for one-off costs, consulting costs, that major part of it is related with the bank. You had already advanced that it should go down substantially, but I just wanted to have more clarity on the amount of consulting costs for 2017. Secondly, what could be the amount expected for other restructuring costs during this year? The third and last question, it's a more open question regarding your core business and competition. It appears to me that there are some disruptive business models out there. You lost some market share despite the apparent huge advantage that you have in terms of your big network, physical network in Portugal. Is there a suggestion regarding the future, whether or not you should make faster and big adjustments to your network and adapt your business strategy? Or do you believe that the natural market share of those competitors has already been achieved and you are fully in control of the outlook for your core business? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruno. In terms of the dividends, as I just mentioned, when we announced the project of the bank, we said that we planned not to affect the dividend because of the launch of the bank. And if you compare the 72 million euros of dividend that we are proposing to the AGM with the 85.5 million euros of net profit without the bank, we are talking about a distribution of 84% of that net profit. And the difference is the bank, by which we use the 10 million roughly that goes from here to the net profit and the 10 million that we have to go and take out of reserve. And so the when you look at the question of sustainability, it's much more related to the rest of the businesses, because the bank, we believe that we are in the right track. And so what we are able to do with the evolution of all this means we'll in the end define what we can do. Today we are with this policy, dividend policy, and we have not changed it. And that's the logic behind it, is the one that I just mentioned. The proposal or the point that you mentioned in terms of the AGM is something that we, after a thorough analysis, we thought that it would be even better to make it even more clear and stronger that we have distributable reserves in an amount that can sustain the losses of the bank in the period until break-even that we have planned. And that's why we make that proposal to the AGM. Even without that, we'll have distributable reserves. With that, we have more. And that's the point there. In terms of the dividend yield, I think I would put the question on the contrary. The dividend yield is a relationship between the price and the dividend, of course. And so we might, in the long future, think about it. But now is more what is the logic of the dividend, and then the dividend yield is the one that the market decided to, that they are comfortable in buying our share. In terms of market share and network, because the other one I will ask André to answer. You were, of course, talking about the mail business. We come from a situation where we have 100%. Technically, as you know, was 96 or whatever, but in fact, it was 100%. No one else did real mail business. Now we have two competitors, one with probably a bigger presence in terms of volumes, the other not so big, but both are there. When you have 100% market share, you have only one way to go, which is down. You cannot go up. And so the issue of if someone is capturing aggressively some market share, you have to live with that. As I have already mentioned in the past, the issue of having a competitor active is that we have less freedom to manage the price with our customers. But that's the reality of competitive markets, and I'm very used, and we are already becoming used to work in a very competitive market. But all my life I operated in competitive markets. We have very competitive markets in express and parcels, we have very competitive markets in banking, and now we have competitive market in mail. And for now, I think the impact in price flexibility is bigger than what the volumes that they are capturing affect our total revenues, and I think you can conclude that when you look to what we announce as volume decline for us, because the figures we are presenting are the figures for us, not of the total market. Those were will be disclosed by the regulator later on. And so the volume decline for us is within the 3-5% decline range that we have been announced since privatization, even with the competitors coming in. Of course, with time, they might capture a larger chunk. Let's see how things go. But again, we have to act as we should in a competitive market. And what I'm sure is that we will live for a while with this pressure of competitors in the market. André, for the outlook for consulting costs.
First of all, regarding the Banco CTT, we do not have always clear what will be the consultancy and what will be the non-recurring costs. If there were some expected, they would not be non-recurring, they would be recurring. What we can tell you, and we said in the previous years, is we are a business under transformation, which makes us all the time have some initiatives in order to more and more and year by year adjust and transform our business, which makes sometimes the need of having some consultancy. I do not expect a lot of consultancy costs on the bank side, apart from some costs, non-recurring costs coming from the launch of the new products of the bank, which will always be together with some strong advertising campaigns, and also some costs regarding the enlargement of the presence of the bank in our network. As I told you, probably lower than it was initially said, but it will continue to happen, which will make the need for some costs regarding with that process. Regarding CTT, we will always have during the next years, during this process of transformation, the need to have some, as I told you, some new initiatives and some initiatives of transformation will always require some consultancy needs. I do not expect the same levels as we had in the last year, which was the launch of the bank, but they will continue to kick in.
Okay, just if I may, very quickly, and the restructuring costs. So, aside from consulting, other restructuring costs that you may give us some color for this year in terms of amounts.
At this stage, we do not have any relevant restructuring costs that would kick in.
Okay, thank you very much. Very clear.
We will now take our next question from Christopher Combe from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
I want to also three questions. First two relate to the EBITDA bridge going into this year. The guidance is very clear, but I was just wondering what you're discounting in terms of the registered mail contribution. We see stabilization in the fourth quarter. Wondering if you anticipate sort of a flattish year on your contribution or perhaps some growth potentially, and then from financial services, can you give us any color as to how savings and insurance placements are likely to impact? Are there any factors such as renegotiated terms which could impact the contribution? And then lastly, on the Banco CTT CapEx cut, can you confirm if that's simply a deferral given the lower and smaller sort of overall footprint and pace of expansion? Or is this a structural reassessment of the capital needs? Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. In terms of the EBITDA guidance, I think you have to live with the one that we gave. We cannot disclose more what is behind in terms of assumptions, because I think that is enough. In terms of the Banco CTT investment, it's good your question, because I'll use the opportunity to clarify something that when I listen to some opinions or read it, shows that probably we have not yet communicated that totally clear. We are doing less investment or CapEx. Number one, because the business is going better than we anticipated and not the reverse. Meaning that what we are finding out on when we are operating already, trying to capture or capturing customers and relationships, we are seeing that the number of branches that we have is a very important one, very relevant in terms of percentage of the potential market that we have initially calculated, and also that the movement towards using more alternative channels or digital channels in Portugal is speeding up, and also that we have been able to attract a profile of customers which is younger than we initially anticipate. And by younger, I'm not talking about kids or youngsters, but I'm talking about We have some data that we can compare with the average of the market by age bracket each 10 years. And what we can say is our proportion is higher between 35 and 55 than the other bracket above and below those levels, which means that people that are in active life, that they are using more banking products, already coming to some savings, needing mortgage, having a very active relationship with banking, using already digital channels, all that, are coming to Bank CTT, are being attracted by our offer more than we anticipated. And so all this, plus the large retail banks being continuing to decrease the number of branches that they have, we believe that we don't need to go so much and so fast. And so we decided to save that CapEx, use part of them to support even more our digital platforms, but the net effect is the one that you see there for good reasons. Then in terms of, I think it was three questions. And
No, the first one was about the EBITDA bridge. I can just give a small comment. It's that, as Francisco said, we do not give any more color about that. The only thing we can tell you is, as Francisco explained regarding the performance of the business, the underlying business, the current or the business as usual, needs to continue to perform according to our expectation, namely, as we tell you, always the big or the most challenging one, it's always the mail, because the mail we expect to decline, we always expect it to decline, but the trend of decline is always important to us in order to factor in our year. Regarding the renegotiation of the contracts in our financial services partners, we are renegotiation agreements, part because we are also putting some, the bank, CTT, also inside of some agreements with an expectation to have a better performance, because being in a bank, it's where some of the products will be better sold, namely the consumer credit, which we made a partnership already some years ago, but now it's starting to kick in as a product with some relevant profitability. Regarding the savings, we, as we told you, are in negotiation, or we have from three to three years a renegotiation with our partners, namely the EGCP, which is undergoing. We could expect some changes, but not so much relevant changes along the year. And
of course, when we do guidance, we incorporate everything that we know at that stage.
Thanks. I might speak one more in about Amazon. Did that have a material impact in December? And does that have any implications for your cross-border activity with Amazon as it becomes a more meaningful customer in Spain?
Not yet, but it's on our plans, yes. Although, amazingly enough, the number, the volume levels of Amazon to Portugal is a very, very minimal part of the total volumes of Amazon to Spain and Portugal. And so, although we of course have the plans to build also that part, it's much more important to have a strong relationship, being one of the delivery companies used for Spain than for just for the cross-border.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Tobias Sittig from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Three questions for me, if I may. Firstly, looking at the setbacks of 2016, how does that sit within your midterm outlook communicated on the Capital Markets Day? Secondly, again, after two profit warnings last year, did you exercise particular caution when putting together your 2017 outlook? And lastly, on Altice, my understanding was that you were looking for alternatives to replace what didn't come from the Altice contract. So I was a little bit surprised to just take that out of guidance and have nothing to compensate, at least to some extent, for the fall away from the Altice revenues. So maybe you can comment on what you're thinking about there and how you're looking to leverage your retail proposition there a little bit better. Thank you.
Thank you. Give me just 1 second. Okay, so in terms of volume decline, we say here 4 to 5% instead of 3 to 5%, so we probably see a little bit of more decline than we were anticipating in the last 3 years, coming from what we already have been discussing in this call. So the speed of the substitution, the entry of competition, these type of things. In terms of can you repeat your second question? The third was about this. Second one.
The first one was on the overall midterm guidance, or the financial guidance for the next couple of years. The second one was on 2017, whether you put in more caution than
yes.
Previous
okay.
years in your guidance.
Okay, so as I said already, we incorporate everything that we know, and we try to be as cautious as we can. When we have big surprises that we don't anticipate, we have to live to that, and that's what happened last year. Of course, we could try to avoid that by not giving guidance for so short term, but I think in this huge transformation stage, that would be not good to anyone. And so we prefer to continue to try to be cautious enough and to give our best guidance each of the moments that we talk about it. In terms of the Altice, we have been saying for quite a while that we didn't see the probability of doing something with them very high, and also that we were already starting to have conversations with others to try to do business together, but nothing on the side, on the type of solution that we anticipated with Altice, meaning exclusivity, big upfront payment, and this type of thing. And so that is something that we continue to do, basically in the two main areas, which is usage of our front office network, so the retail network, for selling off products from different operators. And the second one being that project more related to the development of e-commerce for mid-sized Portuguese companies, trying to build the presence online of those retailers, and with that to produce more volumes for us in terms of what we do, our main business. Those are underway. We have nothing else to add.
Can I just clarify on the first question? Do you confirm your midterm ambitions for 2020 and beyond, or is that under review for the group?
We have not reviewed it. We have given it at that stage. We don't feel the need to go into that now.
Okay. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Nuno Estacio from Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. A couple of questions. The first one would be on the prices. You still haven't announced any price increases for 2017. I'd like to know what are your plans, if you are discussing any change in the price scheme or price structure that you have now, and if you could give us any update on that. The second one would be on the Express and Parcels. We see that although you are having and you, Andre, I think mentioned this during the call, although your volumes are growing in a relevant way, your mix is being very negative. Do you still expect this to happen in 2017? Is this effect mostly over? Could you help us understand a little bit more this part? The third question would be on if you could help us understand the cash flow, because essentially when we look at the evolution of your net cash position, Essentially, it was the dividend that you have paid throughout the year has, excluding the dividend, you essentially generated no cash flow. Even with the investment in the postal bank, I still miss there's still a relevant outflow in terms of working capital. If you could explain it a little bit, and if you could give us any indication on what would be. Besides EBITDA, the cash flow outlook for 17. A final question would be on M&A. You mentioned on your in your final slide that there are potential M&A operations happening at the bank, but also in Spain. If you could tell us what sizes, what would be the maximum size you would be willing to go, if you could be willing to take debt or become a net debt company instead of net cash because of that, and if you can tell us a little bit your ideas, what could drive your M&A vision in terms of both the bank and the Express and Parcels. Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. In terms of prices, we are already working with the regulator, and we probably will announce something in the early second quarter. But of course, when we announce, as you know, the impact will be for the full year. So by doing it in April or May instead of February, the impact on the year will be the same. Of course, the impact in the first quarter will be different, but that is expected and happens from time to time. We are trying to work out some change that we believe would make sense, but that takes more time, and that's why we are taking more time. In terms of the Express and Parcels, we have still, although much less important than in the past, but still the banking network inside that, which means, as you know, banking network, not to confuse with something else, is the business of transporting documents from branches to head office of the different banks. As you know, that has been hit during the last 5 years very strongly for the reasons that we have discussed a lot. But what is relevant here is that first, it has nothing to do with the underlying trends of e-commerce-driven express and parcels. And second, it's a revenue that has no items attached, which means that when the revenue coming from the banking network goes down, just by dividing the two, the average price of the real express and parcels business goes down just for this accounting reason. And that is something that is being one of the reasons of impact. Of course, we have underlying serious reasons, which is as the growth is happening in express and parcels in e-commerce driven and not in B2B, which are lower price items, the average because of that also goes down. But don't forget this issue that is probably one of the one that is affecting more. We anticipate that business to continue to decline, although from a much lower base. As it has been declined for 5 years, each year it's much lower based than the previous year. I leave the cash flow for André. And in terms of the M&A, the rationale is the one we said there. It's if we can find something, starting from the bank, if we can find something that makes sense to speed up the growth of the asset side of the bank. It can be a credit card portfolio. It can be a mortgage book, these type of things. So not with a lot of people, not with a lot of branches, and certainly performing. That might make sense at the right price. And that is what we are speaking about when we say that. In terms of Spain, it's still two open questions, so I will not comment on that more than what we have said there.
First of all, regarding cash flow, we do not give guidance on cash flow, so we will not talk about the guidance for or guidance of cash flow to 2017. What you need to take into account is the underlying. You have a guidance for the EBITDA, you have a guidance for the the CapEx investments. You have in the more or less what we said in the capital market days, the equity needs of the bank during the ramp-up period, and if any of the acquisitions factor in, will have also that impact. But we do not give. Regarding 2016, the cash was basically for the dividend, as you said, for the capital needs of the bank, and for the CapEx needs that we had during 2016 for our current business, and also to support the launch of the bank, namely the opening of the branches in the post offices.
Sorry, but just to understand, in terms of the capital needs of the bank and the total capex you put into the bank, how much was that exactly?
We said
no, 1%.
We already put in terms
no,
of capital in check. In 2016, we put 85 million or accumulated 85 million of equity in the bank.
No, but I think you have to go more into detail with Peter later, because the issue is we put the capital, but then as we announced consolidated accounts, the capex that the bank itself does with the capital that we put there is the capex that then appears in the total consolidated capex of us. So I think we need to go more into detail.
Okay.
Thank you, Nuno.
We will now take our next question from Antonio Sanders from Intermoney. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. One is related with staff costs in the fourth quarter of 2000, so last year. If you can explain why, or the main reason why the figure was so high. And second one is related with non-recurrent costs for 2017. If you can provide some color on it, so basically comparing with 2016, for instance, that were around 20 million, should we expect some kind of figure lower than that? That's it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the second question, as I said, we non-recurring is something that it's not recurring. So, as I told you, we can have some, since we are a business under transformation, we will always have some recurring costs. As I also said, we do not expect to be such a higher figure. But apart from that, we cannot comment on non-recurring. We'll have some consultancy for sure. Last year, we had several initiatives, the launch of the bank, some HR optimization, which made our recurring cost to go a lot up. I don't expect they will continue as high as they were, but they will continue to have some during this process of transformation of our business. Regarding the staff costs in the fourth quarter, you have always to take into account it's that the staff costs or the staff costs related with the bank, they factored in along the year because the bank was developing along the year. Apart from that, we're having staff costs. You need to take the recurring and non-recurring part of it, and we have a 4 million restructuring costs in the fourth half of the year because we did some HR optimization, which we announced by the end of the year, which made us spend 4 million euros in staff costs to agree with the people to go out of our company, which is around more or less 50 people, which will have benefits in the next years, and we expect to be paid between 2 and 2.5 years.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from David Kirstens from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Three questions, please. First of all, regarding advertising mail, the 24% decline in the fourth quarter. I understand advertising mail is more lumpy, and you're referring to fewer campaigns by two large retail customers. Have those customers disappeared, or do you expect that those campaigns will come back in the first quarter? Was it a phasing issue, or have these customers disappeared? Secondly, regarding your guidance for narrowed guidance for address mail volume decline of 4 to 5%, does it take into account any potential negative effects from increased government e-substitution this year? And then certainly regarding your plans for Banco CTT, you, I think, said in November that you see now room for around 300 branches in Portugal for the reasons that you also highlighted in the call today. With revenues slightly below the plan that you announced in November and your operating cost at the same level of 35 million, do you still expect the bank will reach break even in 2018? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So in terms of advertisement mail, is the problems of cutting in a quarter. So the customers did not disappear. And sometimes they do two campaigns and sometimes they do one and they sometimes they do three in a single quarter, and that's this type of effect. And when several of these things happen at the same time, you have the results that you can see. We don't anticipate that on that specific issue we are losing money, we are losing business because of that. In terms of the announced intention from the government, what the government tells us is that the government decided to set up a legal framework and then an IT system for the taxpayers to have the possibility to set up a digital mailbox as the formal place to receive tax notifications instead of being the place where they live with that address, the one that is legally binding. And then when that is set up, and when the legal framework exists, when the IT system exists, and talking about IT system, we have something with the government already called VSTT, so we might not be totally out of that. And nevertheless, after that, what we anticipate is that the population will move to that at a pace normal one, when as people are going into digital in different needs of their life. And if you look back to the speed of digital migration from the utilities or the telcos or the banks, with all the pressure that they put on their customers, with the incentives that they give, and we don't anticipate government to give discounts on taxes because of going digital, we think that these will be a normal evolution. Of course, then when politicians announce things, sometimes they use some examples that are unfortunate. And on that press conference, I think that talking about Denmark was the worst that they could have done, but I believe that they didn't have totally the consciousness of what Denmark has done in terms of making that compulsory. So this can change every day, but with information that we have now, we believe that certainly for 2017, the figures we are giving you as outlook incorporate that effect that will be small or none, depending on the date in which all these will be ready. In terms of the third question, the issue of the break-even. What we did in the capital markets day, what we said in the capital markets day, is that the break-even, except shared costs, will be after 3 years. The first year was 2016. The second, 2017. And in reality, was even half of 2016. The second, 2017. The third, 2018. It's too soon to say something the same or different. We keep with the exact words that we said by then, but of course it might not be exactly as you said in 2018, but it will be, as far as we know today, with this definition that we put on those range of years.
And maybe as a quick follow-up regarding your operating expenses, with fewer branches targeted, only 300 instead of 600, would you expect that your OPEX will come down next year from the 35 million you're guiding for this year?
No, because there is no reason to come down. The growth or the increase is smaller than the alternative. Will be smaller than the alternative, but there is no reason to decline from a base which already incorporates the number of branches that we'll have over this year. Number of branches and people in head office, which is the total cost in terms of staff cost. So I think it'll be more or less in the.
I would just comment that the staff costs, as Francisco said, a lot of them, the bank ones, are related with our people in the bank, in head offices, and the other ones will come from the shared costs, as Francisco mentioned, by the utilization of our network. If we have less revenues, we'll have less shared costs being utilized. But apart from that, those costs, as Francisco mentioned, are already in the company. So if they are not used, it's because they are being used to the other activities in our retail network.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Again,
thank you.
Again, as a reminder to ask a question today, please press star one. We will now take our next question from Arthur Amaro from Visesa Bay. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions, if I may. The first of one is to, if you could explain the difference between the EBITDA reported and the recurrent EBITDA in the mail business in the fourth quarter of the year. If my figures are correct, the recurrent EBITDA in the mail, it was 15.5, while the reported was 28.1. Or if you put it on a different way, what does explain the difference in the mail business in the full year? Basically, the difference between the 97.8 and the 85.2 euros. And the second question, if I may, is what's behind the roughly of the 13.6 effect, positive effect in terms of EBIT regarding provisions and impairments. So these are my questions.
Arthur, thank you. On the first one, I would prefer if you agree that Peter and you go into the details and
thank
go
you.
Through to that.
I can just give a
and
brief
on
comment.
The second one, Andre.
Yes, but in the, regarding the first and the second one, as mentioned, we had the HR optimization of 4 million in the last quarter, which a big part comes to the mail business. Regarding more detail about that, I ask you to speak with Peter.
Okay.
But basically what we have is we have always some provisioning to do some HR optimization in our company. We have some provisions also for some labor contingencies, which from time to time we reinforce because we need, and from time to time when the process are going in our direction, we reduce or we use them if we need to use to do the optimization that we have in mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will now take our last question from Joa Safara from Santander. Please go ahead. Joa, please go ahead. Your line is open. If you're using a speakerphone.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my question.
Joa,
hello?
Yes. Sorry?
We don't hear you.
Hello?
Yes, Joa,
no,
please
we
can hear you.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, Joel, we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, sorry. It's a quick one. Just wanted to have an update. Yes, okay. So just wanted to have an update after in the 9 month results. You mentioned that the transfer of the healthcare liabilities was soon, and you expect that decision to be made until year end 16. So just wanted to have an update on that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. What we decided in December was not to decide, meaning we suspended the decision, although we have already even the authorization from the regulator, the insurance regulator, that is one relevant for that. But we are continuing to analyze it, and later this year we'll come back to that issue.
Because
we are evaluating the pros and cons, of course, and that's the issue, because when we with the work together with the regulator, we have to do some some changes in the process or in the way, the type of assets that we can put into the fund, and that has to be reevaluated, the advantages and disadvantages of doing it. Okay, thank you very much.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for attending. Thank you for your continued following and support. And as you have in the last page, we'll go starting to tomorrow and then during next
day.
Starting today, sorry, today is already Friday. Starting today and during this following week, we'll go around different markets, different cities. And so we'll probably meet some of you in the different places, and then we'll continue to be here managing the company and always open to discuss with you the issues that you want to discuss with us. Thank you very much. Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.